you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we are studying Hebrews chapter 2. We will be discussing a better covenant and the greatness of our salvation. We will discuss the work of redemption that Jesus did upon the cross and what we are redeemed from. Paul is discussing the excellency of the person of Christ in this chapter, and he proclaims Jesus' authority above angels. We know Lucifer is an angel, therefore Jesus' authority is greater than his. In this chapter, Paul wants to remove the so-called scandal of the cross. According to the Mosaic law, to die on a cross was a curse, thereby making the person who died on the cross a sinner. Paul wants to set the record straight that Jesus was not a sinner, but was in fact the Son of God. Remember, Paul is trying to reach the Jewish people in the writing of the book of Hebrews. In this chapter, we find the answer to an age-old question. Did Jesus have the human nature of man when he was born upon this earth? We know that he was born in a fleshly, earthly body, but many have believed that he did not have a human nature as you and I have. But according to verse 16 of Hebrews 2, he was given or took on the nature of the seed of Abraham. He did not take on the nature of the angels, whatever that nature may have been, but he took on the nature of a human. Now, what does that mean? It means that he could be tempted through the weaknesses of the human nature. Does that mean that he sinned? No, it does not, because the power of God in his soul and his divine nature made him victorious over sin that was in this body of death that Paul speaks of in Romans. The book of James says we are tempted when we are drawn away by our own lust that is coming from the weaknesses inherent in the human nature. It is also called carnal man or the flesh. The lust in the human nature is from this world, and it is not from God. And so those who walk in the human nature with all the fleshly desires cannot please God. When Jesus took a body with the human nature, what does that not mean? It does not mean that Jesus could have sinned. He could not sin. It was impossible for him to sin. In 1 John 3 and 9 we read, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, because he is born of God." This scripture is clearly speaking of Jesus. So it is through Christ that we have come to trust in God, because God raised him from the dead, and also because we were cleansed from our sins when we accepted the truth of the good news. So we are to see to it that we have love one for another, because that is walking in the Spirit. To understand salvation, you must separate the soul, where the power of God is in the born again, and its relationship to the body, where the human nature fights against the soul, is found. The soul has the power of God in it, while the body has the old sinful nature present in the heart and mind that wars against the righteousness of Christ that abides in the soul. When we yield our bodies to Him, the power of Christ in the soul is greater than the power of the flesh in the body. We have been born again, and our new life did not come from earthly parents, because that life will end in death, but this new life will last forever and is in the soul. The flesh perisheth, but the word of the Lord will last forever. We keep our hearts and minds yielded to the mind of Christ in the soul, and that enables us to obey Him until the day we are free from this body of the flesh, which we call the second redemption, which is the day of the rapture or return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day, we will drop this robe of flesh, as the song says, and we will be given a new glorified body that is free from lust and will never be tempted to sin anymore. Sin will be done away with when lust is done away with. We know that Jesus was the firstborn of God and without sin. We also can be victorious over sin because we too are born of God in the new birth experience. Let us read 1 John 3:1-11. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The heading here says, those who are in Christ walk in righteousness. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, and neither know Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. So whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That's the supreme test, if we are children of God, is if we love one another. You might say, does God expect us not to commit sin? Yes, He does, and that is possible. With God, all things are possible. God's looking at the soul. And if Christ abides in the soul, in the born again, then He knows that we are striving against sin. And if we fail, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a high priest. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. How is it that Jesus could not sin, but yet He could be tempted to sin? Isn't it a sin if you're tempted to sin? No, it is not. One can be tempted to sin and not sin. We make choices. James 1:13-15 says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Jesus, who came to the earth as a man, had this body of flesh, or else He could not have been tempted. The key to know how we are being tempted to sin is the phrase that says, His own lust. We are drawn away by our own lust, which is in our flesh. It's not in our born-again soul. We cannot be tempted in our soul. Our soul is the throne room of whosoever child we are. If we are of the devil, the flesh sits there, or the old human nature, the self. But if we are born again and of God, Christ's Spirit is in our soul, and He imparts His Spirit to us to help us to overcome. There is power in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. James tells us, when the lust of our flesh is conceived, which means that we bring forth the lust and we act out whatever the lust is, that it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. The scripture clearly tells us in Matthew 4:1 that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and nights. 1 John 2:16 gives us the definition of lust that opens the door to temptation. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We are tempted in 3 areas, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. Notice that the 3rd one substitutes the word pride for lust. Pride is used here with the understanding of self-promotion or gratification, without regard to any other person except one's own self. In Matthew 4:1-11, we read the account of Jesus as he was tempted in these 3 areas by Satan in the wilderness. He was hungry, a natural lust, which Satan was using for evil purposes to tempt Jesus. But it's a lust of the flesh. He was shown wealth and power, which is a natural lust, but it's the lust of the eye. He was asked to prove he was the Son of God to test God's power, which is the pride of life. Yes, Jesus had a human nature the same that we have. That is the sin part of Adam that he took upon himself. He did not take upon himself the soul of Adam. Jesus could not take on the soul of Adam because that was given to Adam. A man's soul belongs to the man or the individual and is not shared with other humans or even with God. A soul is unique to the person. And a man will give account of his soul to God as to whether it is righteous or not. Man has a righteousness, but we're not talking about that righteousness. We're talking about the righteousness of Christ in the fruit of the Spirit. God will deal with men's souls in the final judgment, because all men's souls ultimately belong to God. Jesus himself had a soul. We know he was the only righteous soul ever born as a man with a sinful body of flesh, yet without sin. Jesus was pure and sinless as Adam was before the fall. His soul was never given to corruption as Adam's soul was when he fell. Even Jesus' body was not left to corruption when he died. The Apostle Peter preached a powerful message concerning this in Acts 2:22-36. We'll read it in the Living Translation. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing wonderful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But you followed God's prearranged plan, and with the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and murdered him. However, God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life again, for death could not keep him in its grips. King David said this about him, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart's filled with joy, and my mouth shouts his praises. My body rests in hope. For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will give me wonderful joy in your presence. Dear brothers, think about this. David wasn't referring to himself when he spoke these words I have quoted, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on David's throne as the Messiah. David was looking into the future and predicting the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that the Messiah would not be left among the dead and that his body would not rot in the grave. This prophecy was speaking of Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, and we all are witnesses of this. Now he sits on the throne of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit in honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. So we see that Jesus' soul and not even his body saw corruption because he was raised from the dead. Jesus does not share his soul with us in the kingdom of God because he became a man. This verse that I just read to you in Acts 2 and 27 proves that Jesus has a soul, because it says, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. So Jesus had a soul, and he still has a soul, in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Because he was our example, he suffered as we suffered, only more so. So you may ask, what is it then that Jesus gives us in our soul when we are born again? He gives us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which embodies his divine nature, which is the spiritual kingdom of God. We still have a human nature that can tempt us to sin, but we do not live in lust of the flesh. We walk in the Spirit of Christ that is in our soul, that bids us follow the Lord and not our own evil lust and desires. Jesus was born like us so that we may become like him. We are speaking of very deep spiritual things today that are so wonderful. The reason that Jesus came in the flesh in verses 16 through 18 of our text today is to be the intercessor or the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is our high priest, our intercessor. He also talks about the witnesses that heard Jesus, that there were eye and ear witnesses of what Jesus Christ began both to do and to teach. He says these witnesses exposed themselves by their testimony to the loss of all that was dear to them in this life, and many of them sealed it with their blood. So how can we neglect such messengers and the message that they brought? And it says that God himself bore witness by signs and wonders and different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. So it was the will of God that we should have a sure footing for our faith and a strong foundation for our hope in receiving the gospel. As it was in the giving forth of the law, there were signs and wonders. So it was in the giving of the gospel by more and greater miracles to a far more excellent dispensation of the gospel. The state of the gospel church, which is here called the world to come, is not subjected to the angels, Paul says here. This new world of the church is committed to Christ and is put in absolute subjection to Him only. We are not to answer to angels, but we are to answer to God Himself. When God has extended His hand to man with this magnitude of offering to him the glory of God, how shall we escape if we neglect this salvation? The fruits of the free grace of God is that God crowned the human nature of Christ with glory and honor in His being perfectly holy, that by His sufferings He might make satisfaction, tasting death for every man. As a reward of His humiliation in suffering death, He was crowned with glory and honor. Not only has God provided us Jesus Christ for our salvation, He took our nature into union with His own divine nature, and He became really and truly man. He did not lay hold of angels, but He laid hold of the seed of Abraham. The nature of angels could not be an atoning sacrifice for the sin of man. Now there is hope and help for the chief of sinners in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus became a man that He might die, that He might suffer, that He might be tempted, that He might overcome this body of flesh. A body was prepared for Christ so that He may die upon a cross for you and for me. The devil was the first sinner, and sin was the cause of death. Now Jesus has destroyed this power of death, that the devil can keep none under its power, nor can he draw any into sin that are kept by Jesus. Jesus wanted to deliver His people from the slavish fear of death to which they dreaded all their life. Christ became man and died by letting us know that death is not only a conquered enemy, but it is a reconciled friend. Death is not now in the hand of Satan, but it is in the hand of Jesus Christ. Jesus was faithful to God and merciful to men. In things pertaining to God, to justice and to honor, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In these things He suffered, being tempted Himself. It grieved His soul to the very uttermost for the thought of the things that Satan had presented to Him in the temptation. Temptations bring our souls into such distress and danger that we need the support of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we may overcome. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Let's read Hebrews 2 in the New Living Translation. The heading here is a warning against drifting away. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. The message God delivered through angels has always proved true, and the people were punished for every violation of the law and every act of disobedience. What makes us think that we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation that was announced by the Lord Jesus Himself? It was passed on to us by those who heard Him speak, and God verified the message by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by giving gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever He chose to do so. The next heading is Jesus the Man. And furthermore, the future world we are talking about will not be controlled by angels, for somewhere in the Scripture it says, "What is man that you should think of him? and the Son of Man, that you should care for him. For a little while you made him lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor, and you gave him authority over all things. But now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all of this happen. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, and now is crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death for us. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone in all the world. And it was only right that God, who made everything and for whom everything was made, should bring his many children into glory through the suffering of Jesus. God made him a perfect leader, one fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will declare the wonder of your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among all your people. He also said, I will put my trust in him. And in the same context he said, here I am, together with the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. And only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We all know that Jesus came to help the descendants of Abraham, not to help the angels. Therefore, it was necessary for Jesus to be in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. He then could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and temptation, he is able to help us when we are being tempted. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we are so thankful that you came to this earth as we are, that you understand temptation, that you have given us the power that we are overcomers. Make us strong, that we may serve you and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
It's a heavenly place, and He's laid.